Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is a day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and as always, blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward in the Word of God. For God's Word is true, and we trust in it. And the word that God gave me from our psalm this morning is, "Oh Lord, I say, you are my God." Again, oh Lord, I say, my God, my times are in your hands. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the Lord. You wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the Lord. Our times are in his hands. He is the determiner of everything. How long we are here is determined by God. Where we move, where we live, determined by God. But he gives us free will to do what we want to do. But understand that one day we will still have to be accountable to God. We will still have to stand before him. And he will tell us if we did what we needed to do for the kingdom, or if we did what we did for ourselves. We got to stand in account to God. And, you know, I'm just grateful that God has given us opportunity to be better than we were. You know, as I look out over, you know, where I live and see the sun coming up, I know that God did it. That means God gave me another day. God did it. I didn't. I have no control over the sun. I have no control over the stars. I have no control over the moon. All I have is God. And as I look up and I see the wonder of his grace, but I also see the confusion of the seasons. On Friday, as I spoke to you all, on Sunday, I got caught in a crazy ice storm. It was fat ice and snow mixed together coming down, and because it was also quite windy. And so the wind had my car, and I drive an SUV, but it had my car moving over from the right lane to the left lane. And all I could do was call on the Lord. And I said, "Lord God, you got to drive." Because I was getting a little scared. And then I heard in the back of my mind that we don't walk in fear. We walk in faith. And I stopped being afraid because I knew that God was with me. And then on yesterday, actually, the whole weekend was beautiful from Saturday. Traveling on Saturday, beautiful day. Beautiful. Not hot. A nice spring day. Well, not quite spring yet, but it was a nice springy kind of feeling day. Then on Sunday, again, beautiful. Nice springy feeling day. You know, didn't even wear a coat in the church. Just my sweater was sufficient. And then yesterday, 70, can I say that again? From a snowstorm on Friday. Ice and snowstorm. Let me call it right. Ice and snowstorm on Friday. To 76 degrees on yesterday. Now make that, I think it was maybe 72. Let me get it right. 72 is what it said in my car. 72. That God is trying to tell us something. Do you think God is trying to get our attention? That we need to trust in him? From 20 degrees on Friday, 20, 30 degrees on Friday, to 70 plus degrees on Monday, trying to get our attention. He's asking, will you trust me? Will you depend on me? Will you know that I'm in charge of everything? Nothing is impossible with me. That I can change the seasons in a blink of an eye. I can change the seasons in the blink of an eye. Are we trusting God today? Are you giving God all of you today? Are you knowing that God can and God will give us miracles, give us signs, and give us wonders? All we have to do is believe and trust in him. Oh, Lord, I say, you are my God. My times are in your hands. Winter, spring, summer, fall, seasons are in his hands. 6 o'clock a.m., 7 a.m., in the ninth season, in the ninth hour, everything is in God's hands. Are you trusting in God today? Are you giving him all of you today? Are you believing that he can and that he will take care of you? I believe, and I trust him. Father God in heaven, I come to you this morning, Lord God, lifting up the name of Jesus and thanking you, Lord, for another day. Another day to sing your praises, another day to speak your word, another day to be better than I was on yesterday. Father God, I lift up this word to your mighty hand, asking you, Lord God, to bless the hearers and the readers of it, God, to guide us into understanding in our lives even today. Lord God, help us to be obedient. Help us to be kind and loving. Help us to be the best us that we can be. In the precious and holy name of Christ Jesus, Father God, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you, Lord God, are my strength. Lord God, are my redeemer. And I put my trust in you. In the precious and holy name of Christ Jesus, I thank you for another day. I thank you for the do-over. May this day not be wasted or thrown away. In the name again, I pray, the matchless Savior, grace abide. May your word come alive in our hearts, minds, and spirits. Again, in the name of Jesus, amen. Whew, giving honor to the Most High God, who is the source of our strength and the strength of our life, who gave us another day. Didn't have to, but he did. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hands. So please join me this morning as we go to the book of Numbers, where God don't play. He don't play with his people. He don't badmouth his leaders. You know, we wonder why folks sick, because they done put their mouth on their pastors. They done put their mouths on the shepherds of the house. We like to call in our church the angel of our house. Folks done put their mouth on those that are in charge. And they wondering why things happen. When we get to chapter 12, you'll understand how folks was putting their mouth on Moses. And the thing is, sometimes the folks that put their mouth on you to work are your family. Moses had to deal with that, with Aaron and Miriam getting jealous and saying things that shouldn't. And God showing them a consequence of touching his anointed with the mouth. So, you know, let's get into the word. And I just have to share my cup this morning. You are a gift. You make every day a present. Oh, what a word. Isn't that awesome? And I just say that to the Lord today. You are a gift. You make every day a present. The word of God is a gift from God to all of us. And all I can say is thank you, Lord, for the presence of your word. So join me in Numbers chapter 11 through chapter 12, verse 16. Our psalm for today is the 31st psalm, verses 11 to 18, and that is where our title comes from. Proverb this morning is Proverb 11, verses 12 through 14. And the book of Mark, we are in Mark chapter 10, verse 1 through 31, which I believe is all of chapter 10. So get your Bibles, because what is this? This is Bible study. And we're about to read the word. And for those that are just joining this Moving Forward experience, Moving Forward is a Bible study. And what we do is the goal and the assignment is to read the word of God from Genesis to Revelation in 1 year. I am coming out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible Biblical Principles for each day of the year, day of March. And so we are reading on the seventh day of March. And when we get finished, God willing, December 31st, we will be in Revelation chapter 22, I believe 22. And we'll be finishing up with the amen in verse 21. Revelation chapter 22, verse 21 is our goal. And an amen. So let's get started. And the word of God says, now, when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, for the Lord heard it, and his anger was aroused. So the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some in the outskirts of the camp. Then the people cried out to Moses, and when Moses prayed to the Lord, the fire was quenched. So he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord had burned among them. Now the mixed multitude who were among them yielded to intense craving. So the children of Israel also wept again and said, who will give us meat to eat? We remember the fish which we ate freely in Egypt, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, the garlic, and now our whole being is dried up. There is nothing at all except this manna before our eyes. Now, the manna was like coriander seed, and its color like the color of bdellium. The people went about and gathered it, ground it on millstones, or beat it in the mortar, cooked it in pans, and made cakes of it. And its taste was like the taste of pastry prepared with oil. And when the dew fell on the camp in the night, the manna fell on it. Then Moses heard the people weeping throughout their families, everyone at the door of his tent, and the anger of the Lord was greatly aroused. Moses also was displeased. So Moses said to the Lord, why have you afflicted your servant? And why have I not found favor in your sight that you have laid this burden of all these people on me? Did I conceive all these people? Did I beget them that you should say to me, carry them in your bosom as a guardian carries a nursing child? Into the land which you swore to their fathers Where am I to get meat to give to all these people? For they weep all over me, saying, give us meat that we may eat. I am not able to bear all these people alone, because the burden is too heavy for me. If you treat me like this, please kill me here and now, if I have found favor in your sight, and do not let me see my wretchedness. He was taking all of that on himself. Moses took all of that on himself, always whining and complaining. And you think about how often pastors have to deal with whiny and complaining folks. Well, pastor, you know, sister such and such didn't look at me right, and it hurt my feelings. And pastor, I don't know why you preached that sermon. It just wasn't the right sermon for today. And pastor, you know, I don't know why we have to always give our tithes. Because, you know, pastor, I got bills to pay. But you always talking about we need to pay our tithes. Well, pastor, you know, I just wanted to say, you know, I had a good dinner, and I just wanted you to know it was really good. Do you want me to bring you something? You know, oh, I know you already went out to eat because you was eating with me. You know, pastor, I just wanted just to, pastor, why we got to have an Easter morning sunrise service? It's too early. Why we got to get up all early to come to sunrise service? Why, and then we got to stay for Easter service too? Well, pastor, why my child got to come to children's church? You know, I don't want to have to get up to take them to children's church. Why they got to do it on a weekday? Why can't you do children's church on a Saturday? Why can't you this? Why can't you that? You think about all the foolishness that pastors have to go through every day, just like Moses. We want meat. We got manna, but we want meat. We know we're getting food from God, but we want meat. We know it. Why did you bring us out here? We was fine in slavery. We was fine getting beat down every day. We was fine carrying big old heavy rocks to build temples for the gods. We was fine doing all the dirty work of Egypt. But now, because we have to trust in God, we want to complain. Think about that. Folks whining and complaining all the time. Moses dealt with all of that foolishness. And as we go, it says, so the Lord said to Moses, gather to me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be the elders of the people and officers over them. Bring them to the tabernacle meeting, that they may stand there with you. Then I will come down and talk with you there. I will take of the spirit that is upon you, and will put the same upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with you, that you may not bear it yourself alone. Then you shall say to the people, consecrate yourselves for tomorrow, and you shall eat meat. For you have wept in the hearing of the Lord, saying, who will give us meat to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt. It was well with us in Egypt. As slaves, I want you to keep that in mind. It was well with us in Egypt. And I'm going to add it, as slaves. Therefore, the Lord will give you meat, and you shall eat. You shall eat not 1 day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, nor 10 days, nor 20 days, but for a whole month, until it comes out of your nostrils and becomes loathsome to you, because you have despised the Lord who is among you, and have wept before him, saying, why did we ever come up out of Egypt? Then Moses said, the people whom I am among are 600,000 men on foot. Yet you have said, I will give them meat that they may eat for a whole month. Shall the flocks and herds be slaughtered for them to prove enough for them? Or shall all the fish of the sea be gathered together for them to provide enough for them? And the Lord said to Moses, has the Lord's arm been shortened? Now you shall see whether what I say will happen to you or not. The Lord's arms are not short. The Lord can do whatever the Lord wants to do. All we have to do is step back and believe and trust in God that whatever he says he will do, he will do. We got to believe. We got to trust, and we got to know that our Father God is not a man, and he does not lie. And as we continue, verse 26 of Numbers chapter 11. But two men had remained in the camp. The name of one was Eldad, and the name of the other Medad. And the Spirit rested upon them. Now they were among those listed, but who had not gone out to the tabernacle, yet they prophesied in the camp. And a young man ran and told Moses and said, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. So Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, one of his choice men, answered and said, Moses, my Lord, forbid them. Then Moses said to them, are you zealous for my sake? Oh, that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his Spirit upon them. And Moses returned to the camp, he and the elders of Israel. Now a wind went out from the Lord, and it brought quail from the sea and left them fluttering near the camp, about a day's journey on this side, about a day's journey on the other side, all around the camps above the surface of the ground. And the people stayed up all that day, all night, and all the next day, gathering the quail. He who gathered 10 omers, and they spread them out for themselves all around the camp. But while the meat was still between their teeth, before it was chewed, the wrath of the Lord was aroused against the people. And the Lord struck the people with a very great plague. So he called the name of that place Kibroth Hattaavah, because there they buried the people who had yielded to craving. From Kibroth Hattaavah, the people moved to Hazeroth and camped at Hazeroth. Don't play with God. Talk all that trash if you want to. But God don't play. Whine and complain if you want to. Well, Lord, you know I need this. Lord, you know I need that. Lord, you know I needed that pair of jeans. And you know I had that bill to pay. So why didn't you let me buy them jeans and I didn't pay my bill? Because God, you know I should have been able to get this. I work every day, and I should be able to do whatever I want to with my money. Why I got to be over there always having to give money to the church? For every time. Okay. Keep complaining. And then you wind up with nothing. Keep complaining. You give to God what belongs to God without complaint. You give it with a joyful heart because God is giving you life with a joyful heart. We get so caught up in worldly stuff that we forget God. God has given us the gift, the greatest gift we could ever receive, and that is the gift of life. That is the gift of Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Does he give us life here, but he gives us eternal life when we believe? And life lessons from this Numbers 11 chapter. When the people complain, it displeased the Lord. But the Lord heard it, and his anger was aroused. Just as God always blesses an obedient spirit, so he always judges a complaining spirit. 1 Corinthians 10:10. No one can grumble and honor God at the same time. Come on now. Numbers 11 and 20. You have despised the Lord who is among you. We despise the Lord who lives among us when we declare his provision insufficient and his plan defective. How much better to praise the Lord for who he is than to complain about what we don't have. Our frustrations can make us doubt the Lord's power and wisdom, but we must always remember that God is sovereign, promises. Won't he do it? Yes, he will. I say again, won't he do it? Yes, he will. Won't God do it? Yes, he will. Chapter 12. When we talk about family. Let's call it. Jesus talked about it in the Bible himself, where he said a prophet is not honored in his own home. And I'm paraphrasing that. But Jesus went home to Galilee, to Nazareth. And it's like, isn't that the carpenter's kid? Isn't he the carpenter? Isn't that Mary his mama? And isn't that Joseph and Jude and James, his brothers? Wait a minute. Isn't that his sisters over there? What are you talking about? When did he get training? I ain't got to listen to him because he ain't nothing but a carpenter. You know, I remember when he was a little boy. I remember when Mary had him. You know, there were some questions about that. Come on now, let's call it right. Mm-hmm. We know how we are. Just messy. And then his brothers and his mama, after they talking about, he done went crazy. You know, we got to go get Jesus. He done lost his mind, thinking he's something he's not. But Mama Mary knew he was everything that he was saying he was. But he never once said it. He let people assume who he was. Because he told his disciples, he told the people he healed, don't tell anybody. It's not my time. But, you know, when you once had a crooked hand and everybody see you and your hand is straight, what you going to do? You going to praise the Lord. When you was once blind and now you can see, what you going to do? You going to praise the Lord. You know, as the song say, what you going to do? I'm going to put a praise on it. And that's what they was doing. They was putting a praise on it everywhere they went. And then when we get to chapter 12 of Numbers, talked about Jesus. Family looking down, the folks in the community not wanting to listen to him. Now Moses is going to have to deal with that with his siblings. Because God elevated them. God also elevated Moses. So let's see what happens. Join me in Numbers chapter 12. It says, then Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. Come on now. Call it right. We're talking bigotry. We're talking prejudice. White don't look like me. Because Ethiopia was saying she was black. Because Ethiopia meant black back in that time. So Moses' wife was black. Beautiful. Deborah was beautiful. She was the daughter of a Midian priest. She knew her stuff. She was supportive of her husband. And she loved him. Traveled with him. His support system. When nobody else was there, his wife was there. And he loved his wife. And God loved his wife. Let's go back to the Word of God and see what it says. Prejudice. Bigotry. Even back then. Folks not liking you because your spouse don't look like them. Folks not liking you because you don't look like them. Come on now. Not that they weren't brown themselves, but she might have been a little darker, and she was Ethiopian. She wasn't from class. She wasn't a slave. She had been a free woman, a shepherdess, and she was helping her husband shepherd his people. Now let's see what it says here, because God don't play that. Better get out of the business of bigotry and hating on people because they don't look like you. It's not a God, and God don't play. This is what happened. Let's go back to the word. Then Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. But he had married an Ethiopian woman. So they said, has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also? And the Lord heard it. Now, the man, Moses, was very humble, more than all men who were on the face of the earth. Moses wasn't a braggart, humble man of God. He humbly did everything he was told to do. Love God. Suddenly, the Lord said to Moses, Aaron and Miriam, come out, you three, to the tabernacle meeting. So the three came out. Then the Lord came down in the pillar of cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and said, Aaron and Miriam. And they both went forward. Then he said, hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak to him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. I speak with him face to face, plainly and not in dark sayings. And he sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? God's like, I ain't playing with y'all. So the anger of the Lord was aroused against them, and he departed. And when the cloud departed from above the tabernacle, suddenly Miriam became leprous, as white as snow. Miriam turned white. Then Aaron turned toward Moses, and there she was, a leper. So Aaron said to Moses, oh, my Lord, please do not lay this sin on us, in which we have done foolishly, and in which we have sinned. Aaron said, I don't want that to happen to me. You start praying and asking forgiveness real quick. Please do not let her be as one dead, whose flesh is half consumed when he comes out of his mother's womb. So Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, please hear her, always interceding. Then the Lord said to Moses, if her father had but spit in her face, would she not be shamed 7 days? Let her be shut out of the camp 7 days, and afterwards she may receive these again. So Miriam was shut out of the camp 7 days, and the people did not journey till Miriam was brought in again. And afterwards the people moved from Hazeroth and camped in the wilderness upper end. Don't play with God and don't mess with his people. And the word of God in the life lesson for this says, let her be shut out of the camp 7 days, and afterwards she may be received again. God is gracious, but he will not be mocked. Sin remains sin no matter who commits it, and God will respond to it. Also, his forgiveness of our sin does not necessarily mean the removal of all the consequences of our acts. You mess up, clean up, but there are always consequences when we don't listen to the voice of God. We got to listen to God's voice. We got to do what God says do. We got to speak the name of Jesus. 31st Psalm 11 through 18. I am a reproach among all my enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and am repulsive to my acquaintances. Those who see me outside flee from me. I am forgotten like a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel, for I hear the slander of many. Fear is on every side. While they take counsel together against me, they scheme to take away my life. But as for me, woo, glory, trust in you, O Lord. I say you are my God. My times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and from those who persecute me. Make your face shine upon your servant. Save me for your mercy's sake. Do not let me be shamed, O Lord, for I have called upon you. Let the wicked be ashamed. Let them be silent in the grave. Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak insolent things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. Understand, David was going through, running for his life. Folks talking about him. You know, remember, he's trying to run, and folks are mocking him, throwing things at him. No, David not only had to run from Saul, but he had to run from his own son, Absalom. You know, come on. Went through some stuff. Consequences of having an affair with a married woman. Consequences of adultery. Because God has spoken adultery in the top 10. God don't like adultery. Then, wait a minute, not only was he adulterous, but he was a murderer too. He had Uriah killed. Line of duty. And Uriah was a humble and honorable man. David had him killed. So he had not only a covetous spirit coming in another man's house and another man's wife, but committing adultery with the said woman. Oh, and then murder with the woman, and then lying to Nathan the prophet. But one thing that David did, he repented. He repented. And that's what we must do every day. Repent. If you said something out of line, repent. If you did something wrong, repent. We got to repent. Psalms 31:15, my times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies. The hands of men can oppose us and harass us. But as children of a sovereign God, we are never victims of our circumstances. The hands that really matter belong to God. It doesn't matter. I tell children, it does not matter the circumstances of your birth. What matters is who you become in the Lord. God has made everyone individually, and he loves us collectively. Hallelujah. Proverbs 11:12-14. He who is devoid of wisdom despises his neighbor, but a man of understanding holds his peace. Talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is a faithful spirit conceals a matter. My mother said it, and my aunt Marilyn, God rest her soul. Both of them, Aunt Janet as well, God rest her soul. They were like, there's just some things that you are told that you take to the grave. You take it to the grave. There are secrets that are told to you that you take to the grave. You don't have to be in the know. You don't have to tell everything you know about everything and everybody. Some things you keep behind your teeth and you take it to the grave. It's between you and God and whoever may have come to you in confidence. You ain't got to tell everything you know. Keep your mouth shut. It says, when there is no counsel, the people fail. Come on now. We need leadership. But in a multitude of counselors, there is safety. You know that the leadership in your church, they should be trustworthy. You know, they should be honorable, humble people of God. Even Moses had to spread out some of his duties because he just couldn't do it all. And those that are in leadership to help your pastor, you should be helping your pastor and not hindering them. We are in a job, and you got to do your thing. What is your assignment? Do your assignment and do it well. Come on now. Folks going to talk about you. Let them talk. It don't matter. As long as you're doing what you're supposed to do. Mark chapter 10. Then he arose from there, came to the region of Judea by the other side of the Jordan, and multitudes gathered to him again. And as he was accustomed, he taught them again. Here comes the Pharisees. The Pharisees came and asked him, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? Testing him. And he answered and said to them, what did Moses command you? They said, Moses permitted a man to write a certificate of divorce and to dismiss us. And Jesus answered and said to them, because of the hardness, come on, preacher Jesus, hardness of your heart, he wrote you, because, but from the beginning of the creation, I must say that again. And Jesus answered and said to them, because of the hardness of your heart, he wrote you this precept, but from the beginning, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then, no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate. Hallelujah. The word of God. Not mine, but God's word. Through Jesus Christ, God didn't create divorce. Man did for their own reasons. And it says, and in the house, his disciples also asked him again about the same manner. So he said to them, whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if a woman divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery. Then they brought children to him that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus greatly displeased and said to them, let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will be by no means enter it. And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. Now as he was going out on the road, one came running, knelt before him, and asked him, God, good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? So Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother. And he answered and said to him, teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth. Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, one thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take, follow me. But he was sad at the word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard is it for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and said to them, children, how hard is it for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And they were greatly astonished, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? But Jesus looked at them and said, with men, it is impossible, but not with God. For with God, all things are possible. Then Peter again began to say to him, see, we have left all and followed you. So Jesus answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brother or sister or father or mother or wife or children or land for my sake and the gospel, who shall not receive a hundredfold. Now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands, where and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. What a word this morning. And some life lesson and a life question for today's lesson. First, a life lesson. And it says this in Mark, because of the hardness of your heart, you wrote you this precept. God often acts in pragmatic ways toward us. He gives us a high standard to shoot for, but since he remembers that we are dust. Excuse me. 103 Psalm, verse 14. He also keeps our weaknesses in mind. Yet that is not an excuse. He always calls us to grow spiritually. Mark 10 and 18. Why do you call me good? No one is good but one. That is God. Jesus did not contradict the man's description of him as good. Jesus merely asked him why he used the term as God in the flesh. Jesus was truly good, but he wanted the man to see it for himself. And we're going to go back over to our 31st Psalm. And it was a question that was in. It was a life question. What should I do during times of adversity? Part of life's adversity, even the kind of adversity that challenges our faith. King David provided us some great advice when it comes to facing times of adversity. As part of his final blessing to his son, Solomon, David said to him, you will prosper if you take care to fulfill the statutes and judgments with which the Lord charged Moses concerning Israel. be strong and of good courage. Do not fear, not be dismayed. 1 Chronicles chapter 22, verse 13. And it's also Joshua 1 and 9. It's one of my scriptures. It is my scripture. That's good advice for us today, too. It's still true that obedience always brings blessings. Time and again in the law of Moses, we find the word keep. The children of Israel were commanded to keep the feast, to keep the law and commandments, to keep the Sabbath day holy, to keep their oaths to God, to keep themselves from evil. Moses said to the children of Israel as he led them into a covenant relationship with God, therefore keep the words of this covenant and do them that you may prosper in all that you do. Deuteronomy 29:9. To keep means to hold fast and to cherish at the same time. When adversity strikes, that should be our mindset. Above else, we need to hold fast to the Lord and to cherish our relationship with him. Rather than blame God or turn from God, we need to turn to God and rely on his help. Keeping God's laws in the face of adversity actually leads us toward prosperity, a better state of being. When adversity hits, those around you may criticize you, but clinging to faith or reaffirming your belief that God is a good and benevolent Heavenly Father, they may mock you or scorn you. Don't feel dismayed. If that happens, continue to keep God's word and remain faithful in your relationship with the Lord. Remember what David said, I hear the slander of many, fear is on every side. While they take counsel together against me, they scheme to take away my life. But as for me, I trust in you, O Lord. That's our word for today. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies. Ask the Lord to give you courage to withstand the hurtful comments of others and to be able to give a bold witness about God's power, presence, even in your time of trouble. And I got to read it one more time. But as for me, I trust in you, O Lord. I say you are my God. My times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies. Are you trusting God today? Are you believing that he can and will protect you in all circumstances? Are you trusting that whatever you're going through, God will take care of you? And our scripture for today, our prayer, is from Philippians 4:13, strength. I can do all things. Gives me strength. God of my strength, you know how much I need you. On days when it is hard to get out of bed to face the day, fill me with strength that comes straight from you. Help me to brave the day, knowing that I have everything I need to face every obstacle that may pop up. There are no surprises to you. You aren't startled by what happens. I can rely on you to get me through every trial and circumstance. You won't let me fall. I can face the day knowing that I am yours and you are with me. When I struggle in my weakness, you are the power that fuels my soul. Infuse me with your grace that I may courageously walk hand in hand with you, relying on your steady frame. When my own starts to give out, I can do all things through you, Lord my God. And the question, if anyone wants to answer it, what do you turn to when you are tired and worn out? Do you turn to the word of God or do you take it to the phone? We got to learn how to take it to the throne of grace because God is good and he loves us more than we can ever imagine. A word from my sister in Christ this morning. Sister Carolyn, since your past has already passed, stay focused and move forward into your future. Have a terrific Tuesday. And in our word this morning, just, you know, it talked about that. Isn't that just Sister Carolyn? I just love her to pieces because she always comes through. And, you know, I love it, what it says in our word. And it talked about leaving the past where it is. He was devoid of wisdom, despised his neighbor, but a man of understanding holds his peace. A talebearer reveals treachery, but he who is a faithful spirit conceals the manner. Where there is no counsel, the people fall, but the multitude of counselors, there is safety. But I know I read where it talked about leaving the past where it is. You know, but we got to look and listen to God. You know, we cannot let folks put you where they want you. You got to do what God says do. You know, and I like, make your face shine upon your servant, save me from your, with your mercy, say, dear Lord, let me be shamed, oh, ashamed, oh Lord. I have called upon you. Let the wicked be ashamed. Let them be silent in the grave. Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak insolent things proudly and contentious against the righteous. You know, we can't let folks dictate who we are. And I love that's where it is. My times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies. The enemy of men can oppose us and harass us, but as children of a sovereign God, we are never victims of our circumstances. The hands that really matter belong to God. Don't let anybody put you in a box and tell you who you are. You are who God says you are. Don't let your past dictate your future. Since your past has already passed, stay focused and move forward into your future. Have a terrific Tuesday. And I say I have a trust in God Tuesday. And I thank Sister Carolyn for Carolyn's gift that she gives and bestows on everyone every day. That is an awesome woman of God. And all I can say is I thank her. She has been a part of this show since day one with a word from God. You know, before she had to go back to work, she used to come and give it in person. You know, for some years when we were able to have a talk, more of a talk show, we would go in and Sister Carolyn would give the word in person. And so I thank her for sending it to us every morning, giving God honor and glory. And this morning, if there's anyone that has a word from God, now is that we will be ending a little bit early because this is all the word God gave. And when God says it's time to be quiet, it's time to be quiet. So if there's anyone that has a word or anyone that would like to speak or God has given you anything, now is the time to call 213-943-3597. Again, 213-943-3597. And again, I thank you for listening to Blog Talk Radio. This is Moving Forward with Minister Bridget. And occasionally Mother Valerie comes in and joins us, and I thank her, and Evangelist Teresa comes in, as well as Evangelist Shannon. So I thank God for all of them, and I thank God especially for Mother Rita, who is such a great part of what we do. And I believe Evangelist Shannon, Teresa is on this morning. Good morning, Evangelist. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. How are you doing, Pastor Bridget?
I am doing well. And God has given you a word, Evangelist, correct?
Yes. God says, trust always in me. Don't lean to your own understanding, but in all your ways. Acknowledge him as a trust in your life. God said, quit trying to do it just because we can do nothing without him. We must stop and say, God, I trust you. I have total faith in you, God. I will not fear. Life cannot put nothing on me that I cannot handle with you on my side, God. So please put your trust in God. Just don't say it. Do it.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
God has given the evangelist the word for us this morning, and all I can say is I accept that word myself. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. We have to do what? Trust God.
just in Him. Him is God.
And the word for again for this morning. Willing. Oh, Lord, yep. I say. Oh, my God. Come on now. Lord, I say.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, my God. My times are in your hands.
You know, women
deliver
have
me
a gift
from the hand of my enemies and from those who persecute me.
Yes.
We got to call on the Lord. Hallelujah.
Yeah, God.
Thank you so much, evangelist. I love that word. They scheme to take away my life, but as for me, can we say together,
as for me,
I trust in
my
you,
house,
oh Lord.
We will serve the Lord. And we're going to build the church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against us.
Word.
You know, the times are at hand. We've heard it since we were little tiny girls. Jesus is coming back. Well, the time is at hand. Look around and see what's going on. But no,
I just talked about it this morning.
Our UST and God, He's going to help us through it.
Evangelist, just this morning,
yes,
as I was speaking, God put in my heart, we had almost past weekend, in the last 4 days, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, we had all four seasons. We had severe winter with the ice storm and snow on Friday. Then we had a little bit of spring and fall, spring on, actually fall, more fallish on Saturday. Then we had a little bit of spring on Sunday. And then yesterday we had full out summer. 70-something degrees outside. Folks, out in shorts and sandals.
You should not be able to tell the seasons except by the trees.
Come on now. Come on.
We
are still in winter.
Yeah. That's what man says. That is what man says. We did not have a winter.
I'm telling you.
But a little.
No, actually we did not. Not really.
No. Not really.
Not really.
Did we have the snow we had last year? No. God said, I can do what I want to do. God is our all. So we say, let's treat Him like He is our all. Just when you're alone, just reach out your arms and say, Daddy, come to me. Daddy, I need you. You know? And that's the thing, because we as single people, we get lonely. Loneliness is a part of life. But do we know that we know when we need a hug, when we need to be held tight, just call on Him and He's right there for you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, evangelist. We appreciate the mighty word from God. And as we wrap up, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're asking one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours, my sister. And I thank you for your time.
Yes,
I thank you for just being a part of this ministry. As we move forward in the word of God, all we can say is, Lord, I will trust you. Hallelujah. Have a blessed day, family. Evangelist, so much. I'll see you at prayer. Have a great day. God is what? God is good. And He's good all the time. Hallelujah. Bless you as well. Bless all of you that have listened in live and listened later. May the Lord watch over you. May the Lord cover you. May the Lord give you the desires of your heart. Have a blessed day, family. It is, what is it, evangelist? It's a wrap.
It is a wrap. Why? Because we got things to do for God.
Amen.